Hey guys, welcome back to The Landing. I'm here with Sam and Mang today to talk about the upcoming event, King of the Court, which Mang runs and is this Saturday at, what's it called, Carlton?
It's at Neil Street Reserve in Carlton.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thanks for coming on, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us, Otto.
For sure. We're all pretty avid basketball fans, so I thought it'd be an interesting thing to talk about. So first up, give us just a quick little summary of the event. So it's 3-on-3 basketball, but give me a little 30-second snippet.
Yeah, look, so King of the Court, Carlton, the short acronym's KOTCC. It started in 2019 in Carlton Gardens. It's a 3v3 basketball tournament, pretty much brings basketballers from all over Melbourne, but if not Australia-wide, who kind of come down, play a bit of street ball. Pretty good to make the kind of difference between basketball and street ball, though. It's a lot rougher. Light flowers are brushed off, and as well as that, the kind of quality of the ball, it's a lot of ISO ball because it's only six players at once who are going to share the court.
Yeah,
very different to a 5-on-5. There's more room, there's more space, and you can see a lot of people do really really, really cool stuff because it's just pretty much three players, and it's like you've got the whole half of a court. It's not played on a full court, obviously. Half court, but look, King of the Court, very, very humble beginnings. Started with about 14 teams. Now we're up to about 22 teams who are going to compete this Saturday in Carlton. Winner's going to get $2,500.
Wow.
Pretty big. The first ever tournament was $500 for the winner, so we're growing there pretty big. And for the first time, we are going to have a slam dunk comp, which I'm extremely hyped about.
Yeah, that'll be fresh.
Well,
yeah.
Just to give a quick sentence to the listeners, Sam and I have actually played in three of them. We're not playing this Saturday, unfortunately. We thought we'd take it off. Yeah, we're a bit out of form. We thought we'd just sit and watch. But what I kind of love about it as well is just such a big social event. Like there's usually a couple of hundred people watching and maybe even a bit more throughout the day.
For sure.
Like there's usually a sausage sizzle, haircuts, music. Yeah. So it's definitely good to just get down in the sun because, again, I think it's sunny this Saturday as well.
Yeah, 24 degrees and sunny at the moment. Melbourne weather, though, you actually never know, but hopefully the gods looking down on us. So 24 degrees and sunny.
Yeah, dead set. But Sam, what have you kind of like thought about the event as a whole over the last three times that we've played?
Oh, yeah, like it's awesome. Like, you know, for guys like us that just have loved basketball for so many years, there's really nothing better than, you know, chilling outside in the sun, having some beers, talking to your mates, playing basketball, watching basketball, listening to tracks. Like, it really kind of ticks all the boxes. And it, you know, knowing Mang as well over the years, it's been cool to see him growing it and being involved in it, you know, playing in it, supporting it, all that kind of thing. So yeah, no, I'm keen as for Saturday.
Yeah, and Mang, like, what was kind of like the initial, like, can you kind of picture a time where you, I don't know, whether you were playing street ball and you were just like, geez, this would be good to like kind of form my own event. And like, you're obviously a very, very kind of approachable and personable guy. When was kind of like the idea coming to your mind where you're just like, geez, I'd love to MC one of these events?
Yeah. So look, pretty much I grew up in Hawthorne, but as soon as I finished school, moved to Carlton. And where I was living was on Rathdown Street, which was just up the road from Carlton Gardens, where the first, second and third event was held. And look, really, I will give a shout out to one of my homies, Marcus Emerton. He's been living in Carlton his pretty much whole life. And one time I was walking through the gardens and he was there playing with a few of his kind of mates who were living around Carlton at the time. And he said, yeah, Mitch, what are you doing, mate? Like, come down here and play. I've always loved basketball, but used to play kind of, you know, representative when I was younger, but I kind of lost touch with all the training and the commitments with everything that you kind of had to do if you wanted to really actually go somewhere with basketball. So it was great to see him say, look, come down and play. Like, we're just playing straight ball, pick up ball, first to 11, you know, twos and ones. Like, let's just get some games in. And then, look, one thing led to another. I was probably down there, I'd say, like 3 to 4 times a week after work, just like, just balling. And it was great. Like, there was no kind of incentive to do it. Just, you know, it was nice. It was fun. Like, people that I didn't know, just like getting along. And pretty much I was there one day and I just thought, wow, like, this is such a good spot. It's in the gardens. You got chain nets. You got the trees. Like, you got all these people, you know, people drinking beers. Like, everyone just loving it. And then I thought, this could be the exact right place just to have a basketball tournament. I thought, initially, like, let's just set up a tournament, and I actually wanted to play in it. I was like, let's just set a tournament up, get everyone down, I'm going to play in it, I'll get a team together, it'll be sick. And then I made the event, made an Instagram, made a Facebook for it, set the event up, and look, one thing led to another, and I actually didn't even play in the event, and to this day, I have not played in one event. I've actually only ever emceed it, only ever pretty much organised it, and look, it did weigh on my head pretty heavy, because I always thought, I want to play in this event. Like, yeah. I'm setting this up, but like, I want to play in it. Like, yeah, we all love ball, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, as soon as you watch someone else play basketball, you just like get so toey, you just want to get on.
You just want to get on. All you want to do is just play, right? And then I'll actually say, my old man Bill, I was having a chat to him saying, yeah, mate, look, I'm going to organise it like this, and I'm going to get my team. And he said, wait, hold on, like, you're going to play in it. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to play. He goes, why do you want to play? And I'm like, well, because it's going to be my event. Like I want to play. And he said, look, you've got two kind of options here. You can set up this event, you can play in it. Look, you might come second, you might come third. Like, who cares about what you come, but you can set it up, you can play in it, you can have a good day, and great. Or you can set this event up and get the teams together. You can, you know, put the food on, get the DJ, get the music on, pull out the generator, all this stuff, and everyone will go, wow, like, he just loves basketball so much, but he loves bringing people together to play a sport that everyone loves, you know? And I thought, look, that's definitely more important to me than, you know, just playing this event. Like, I found that I enjoyed bringing people together for something, you know, other than the classic kind of music festival, or like going to a bar, or like, you know, going to a party. Like, it's just something a bit different. And I found that I loved it, the players loved it, but everyone loved it. Like, it's like you had kids there, you had, you know, families coming by saying, look, we were just walking past, like, this is sick, like, what is this, you know? And it was just kind of like, look, yeah, one thing led to another, and then here we are, we got number 5 coming up this weekend. So it's pretty much just got some wings of its own now, and we couldn't be happier for it.
Yeah, it's such like the perfect balance between like an activity and also like drinking and socializing. So it's just like, it's like a big version of a big beer pong tournament.
That's really interesting to hear. Like, so that kind of reignited your love for basketball, like playing. Yeah. I guess that's, you know, that's definitely like a testament to how fresh street ball is.
Yeah.
Compared to like organized basketball, like, it's just so raw and just so fun. And now, like, you know, you froth hoops more than like most people.
Yeah.
I reckon during lockdown, you would text me like every day, like, let's get some shots, man. Let's get some shots.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Bands is one of these.
Let's run that drill. Let's run that shooting drill.
Run that drill. Few are suicides. But yeah, look, you're absolutely right. Like, when it comes to street ball, and like, not only for me, but I find that even a lot of players, they kind of get to that point where, all right, what are you going to do? Because you either got to train 3 or 4 times a week, you got to play once. It's like, that's the majority of your whole week playing ball, if you want to choose to go down that ride of playing for a club and like doing all this stuff. And I found that, you know, even a lot of the players that do play in King of the Court now, a lot of them do play in the NBL ones, the big Vs, like, they are still, you know, at a professional level playing basketball. But there is a lot of people who don't do that, but they'll come down and play street ball, and they've still got it, you know? And like,
100%.
And like, I find that, you know, if they don't have a coach breathing down their neck, if they don't have, you know, a proper routine, but they can just come down and just show out, like, that's just a great opportunity for them. But, you know, just everyone involved, really.
And you're guaranteed, like, playing with your friends and stuff like that as well.
Exactly.
And also, I've always, like, Sam and I have had a few of these conversations, but talking about how street ball for basketball, like, the ability to play it, just in the, like at a park, is this, I reckon, compared to all the other sports, it's just the easiest thing just to like quickly go down, put some shots up.
Yeah.
I think I would compare it to maybe like soccer in Europe or whatever, just like playing that straight ball. But with basketball, it's such just a community game. Like, you literally, like, you can go to a park, you can go to Eddie Gardens at any time.
Anytime. There's always people there.
Yeah. And you're watching some people play, and then like, in like within like 10 minutes they'll be like approaching you, being like, oh, we need a couple players, like, do you guys want to like run? And like, dead set, like, it's just such a kind of a social game.
And like, I think as well, a good kind of point to note that is, you know, what you kind of see isn't always what you get. Like, you might have someone come down and they might not be the biggest bloke, they might not be really tall, they might not look that fit, but they can burn you. You know what I mean?
100%.
It's like, look, majority of the time, if you want to go, you know, have a kick, play some markers up, right? If you're, you know, 5'10" and you're going to be with some 6'6" bloke, look, nine times out of 10, they're probably going to dominate you, right? Yeah. But there's been times, and look, I consider myself not very tall. I'm about 6'4", but I've had 5'11", 5'10" guys absolutely burn me, like take me to school, you know? So it's like, I think that you can never really judge a book by its cover, and especially with street ball. So I think that like, everyone's involved, and you know, it kind of comes down to not just your kind of appearance, but like, you know, like your race, your nationality, like your kind of personality. It's kind of like, you can bond with someone through basketball.
Yeah.
And like, that's like, language barriers, everything. It's like there's just so much that like you can kind of gain from it. It's like, just like so much that you can like connect with someone else. It's a
shared interest.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. If you go to Eddie Gardens or Paran or something like that, like there's such a community there. You send the same dudes there hooping all the time. Like, you know, they've got all the group chats and everything like that. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's such a community.
Yeah. And like, look, touching on Paran as well, look, what they've managed to do is absolutely amazing. I think they've actually got coming up in February, the 10-year anniversary of the Summer Jam, so that's absolutely great for them. Eamon and Daniel, absolute ripping blokes. They've kind of come out. They've got that coming up. They actually have on our Sunday as well. They've got their open run coming up as well. So that's actually like a playing tournament to see that you know, if you win that, you can actually go through and play in the Jam. So I think it's definitely a testament to what they've been doing, because you know, King of the Court, I've been doing it for about 3 years. They're coming up to their, you know, 10th year anniversary.
Wow.
I find that I managed to come into this at a time when NBL was on the come up. I find that basketball was on the come up. Everybody was loving basketball, but for them when they came into it, you know, NBL, it wasn't where it is today. You know, like they didn't have this database of players, this kind of database of stuff that I've been lucky enough to kind of have access to. So it's a great testament to them. And I mean, look, it's even just NBL in general. I find, you know, like that in the last 5 years has absolutely popped off.
Yeah, well, I've found that interesting because I've been playing basketball for 19, 20 years. And just to see, like, as I've gotten older, I've always been into the NBA since maybe like 2006 or 7, because my dad was always going to America. But now, like, literally you can talk to anyone about NBA. Anyway. But when I was way younger, no one had any idea what they were talking about. And literally, you can talk to anyone and they will be able to name like 10 players and like talk about who's in the playoffs and whatever.
Yeah.
So I found that interesting.
100%. I remember like back, when we would have been late primary school or something, like if you met a cat that was into the NBA, you'd be like, oh shit, like you like the NBA? That's awesome. And you'd have a chat to him about it. But like now it's like, you know, like you see random mates at the pub that have got, you know, the box score up because they've got some NBA multi on, like some Cavs Minnesota game or something like that. Like it's like
Jerry,
like you're into the NBA, like wow,
yeah. Who would have thought?
Yeah,
who would have thought? Yeah. I mean, it's just so much more like accessible. It's like League Pass probably takes up, you know, a good couple hours of my day when the season's on. You know, because it's like you got
torches me.
You got every game like at your fingertips. You can just get it up. I mean, it's great. It's absolutely great. And I think, you know, the NBL in general, like I'm coming back to the NBL for a second, I'd just like to say that the kind of pathway is proven now. Like the pathway, like if you want to play NBA, you can come and play NBL and you can make it to the NBA.
Yeah, like it's 100% like a viable option.
It's a viable option. Exactly right. And I mean, like that's proven through, you know, your LaMelo Balls, who's playing for the Illinois Hawks, number one draft pick straight out into the NBA. You got your Josh Giddey.
Yeah.
You know, playing for, was it the Adelaide 36ers? Yeah?
Yeah.
Adelaide 36ers. Now he's OKC. He's starting there. And I mean, they've got two kind of options. Are they going to go to college? And then are they going to play against people their own age? The atmosphere, the vibe there is probably going to be 100 times better than what the NBL can produce. But are they playing against people bigger than them? Are they really training for the bodies that they're going to be? They're going to be
professional athletes as well. Yeah. Like exactly guys that have been in the league 10 years and they're paid, they're professional athletes. They're not kids.
And what I will say to the listeners that aren't really following, but the NBA, with their rules, they have to have, you have to have a year between high school and making your like rookie year for the NBA where you play basketball elsewhere. Whether that is college or like a professional league internationally, which is different to like back in the day, like the Kobe Bryant's, LeBron's, Dwight Howard's, they just went KG's, went straight into the league.
Yeah.
I think it was just kind of sparked just education. And was that?
Yeah, I don't actually know, to be honest.
I'd say that would be like one of the reasons. But anyway, like it's been seen as like, it's put Australia on the map in regards to it's just a viable option to come here, play your year, play against like grown men. Like, like you look at like Luka Doncic as well.
Yeah.
He was the like one MVP at like in the, was it the Serbian league or Spanish league or something like that when he was like 16 or 17.
Yeah, that's
and like, look at that, like that's done, just prepares you so well for the NBA because you're playing against full grown men as opposed to like teenagers in college.
Definitely. And it's not even just, you know, Americans that are coming over playing a year and then booting. Like there's just permanently like more talent coming over to play in Australia, like NBL one that's, you know, obviously the league under the NBL, but that's a fully viable option for guys coming out of college now. Like, you know, we've got a mate, Gabe, that played at UC San Diego. And, you know, instead of sussing out to go play in Europe or somewhere else overseas, came home to play in NBL one. And now the mate Hughes playing in San Diego might do the same thing. Like, yeah, it's a really viable option. They're getting some real talent coming through there, and American imports as well.
Yeah,
I think it's just it just kind of comes back to Australian basketball as a whole. I mean, look, it's only this year that we managed to pick up our first ever medal, right? And yeah, look, it wasn't gold. Yeah. It wasn't gold. It wasn't silver. It was bronze. But every single player, every single Australian who loves basketball saw that and was like, "This is the product of years."
Yeah.
Years. Like we're talking Olympics after Olympics, just falling short. Just, you know, like how many times did we finish fourth in the last like 12 years? Like was it every single time?
Yeah, dead set.
Yeah, I think it was. Like,
and it's just exciting as well, just to see like events like King of the Court, Summer Jam, and like we're gonna see more and more of these pop up, and you kind of directly like is related to Australia just generally improving at basketball as well, because we're just generally playing more.
Yeah.
And leading to a medal.
Yeah. And this stuff takes, you know, it takes generations.
Decades,
you see now, and it's probably been this for quite a while, but even more so now, like all the young kids, like I reckon basketball would borderline, I think soccer is right there as well, but basketball is borderline, boys and girls is the most popular sport. For young kids at school.
Yeah.
For sure.
So yeah, it's all good times ahead.
Yeah, dead set. And for you, Mang, where, like, for you, like, emceeing the event, compare, like, the first one compared to the most recent one. What's that like for someone? It's like, because obviously, I don't know your background in, like, generally organizing events as well. How, like, have you found, like, in regards to finding sponsors, obviously getting... Yeah, I think you've got some pretty lucky to have some like close mates who like create clothes, whether that's Ishbig and whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, correct.
Give us like a bit of info on that.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's been pretty surreal. Like, if I'm being honest, like if I look back to, you know, the first ever event, which was towards the back end of 2019, it was off the top of my head, I think it might have been about December 14 or something. Was like the first ever event.
Yeah,
it was a pretty overcast day. I was kind of plugging this King of the Court thing. Everyone's like, "What's this event like? What is it? Like, what's your involvement?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'm just organising this event." I'm like, "Oh yeah, cool." Like, we had 14 teams sign up. Out of that 14 teams, look, I reckon 10 of those teams were, you know, I'll say 6 of those teams I probably hustled. Like for my mates saying, "Oh, come on, just get a team in." It'll be fun. Like, we used to play ball together. Yeah, all right, like, we'll do it. Got 14 teams, you know, it was great. Out of that 14 teams, there's maybe like 2 teams that were actual contenders, you know? And then bang, the second one rolls around. After the first one, everyone said, "Whoa, like that event was pretty dope, really, really underground." I pretty much did it as a complete renegade. I didn't get a permit. I just kind of rocked up with the generator, with the marquee. I got my mate to do a little bit of artwork. And then everyone said, "Whoa, like that event was really cool." And look, we're talking like less than 100 people were there, you know. It was around December. Most people were away. This is pre-COVID as well, so there were no restrictions. People were away. They were down in Sorrento. They were overseas in Europe. Like, everyone was doing, like, you know, actually doing stuff. And to kind of get that feedback, I was like, "Oh, well, you know, like, maybe there's something here. Like, maybe, you know, if I keep pushing this, there could be something here." You know, I had people in my ear saying, "Nah, like, you know, like, this is going to be really big." And I just kind of thought, "Nah, but I just don't really see it getting legs." And then I was like, "You know what, stop it." In about a month and a half later, I said, "All right, let's do another event." So in exactly 2 months after that, it was at the start of Feb, I ran another King of the Court, and it was the second one. And, you know, straight off the bat, we had 18 teams sign up. And I was, "All right, that's a bit of a build up." We had 14 last time, and out of that 14 from last time, I think five of the teams dropped off, and there was about eight random teams that I didn't even know. They were like, just kind of sign up. And instantly I was like, whoa, like the quality's better. The actual, you know, the people playing basketball, there are people here that I don't know. Like, it was just kind of getting bigger. And at that point, I didn't have any sponsors whatsoever. You know, it was just pretty much just me just doing it because I love it.
Yeah.
And then look, for the next event, I said, all right, I think it is time for me to kind of try
make it
to
a bit more professional.
Try to make it a bit more professional, get a little bit more help, you know, because at that time I was kind of doing it all. I was kind of, you know, organizing, you know, scorers, refs on the day, and I was like calculating the amount of wins. It was kind of like, you know, it was a lot to do by myself. So look, I actually went into Kicks 101 and I kind of approached them and look, Kicks 101, you guys would know, I'm sure you guys would have been for years. Like they are, when it comes to, look, I'd say that they're the biggest basketball shop in Melbourne, if not Australia.
Yeah.
I would say, if not Australia, like, would you guys say, like, that's a pretty...
For legit apparel as well, like, fully just, like, legitimate, like...
I met Kyrie there, I remember.
Kyrie. Years ago. There you go,
bro. He did a signing there.
Kyrie, wow. But, yeah, so, look, it's a bit of a funny story how I actually got the Kicks 101 sponsorship. So, look, the way it happened was this was just after Kobe Bryant had passed away, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, I'm going to dedicate this entire tournament to Kobe Bryant. So I dedicated to Kobe Bryant and I said, all right, I need to get a Kobe Bryant jersey. Like, if I'm going to MC this thing on the mic, like, I need a Kobe, I need one, yeah? And I was looking online, they were like, you know, upwards of like $1,000 for a jersey, right? Like, everyone's putting the prices through the roof, right? And I see this advertisement from Culture Kings, right? And Culture Kings goes, all right, we've got these Kobe Bryant number 8, these OG jerseys. They were fire, right? And I said, you can come in, and if you want, you can, if you make 10 shots, so 10, because they had a basketball ring in store. If you make 10 shots in a row, we'll give you a jersey, right?
Yeah.
And I've gone, easy money, you know? I'm like going in there.
Have you been doing those drills with Sam?
Yeah. I'm calling Sam up. Wait, we got to get these shots in cold school this weekend, you know? Anyway, so I've like rolled in there hot. I'm going, you know, what's up? I really want to get this jersey. And they go, oh, yeah. The only catch is there, Mitch, is that you have to spend $500. And I was like, okay, so if I spend $500 in store, but I miss one of the shots, if I get 5 in a row and I miss one, do I still get the jersey? And they're like, no, you don't.
Jeez, that's stiff.
So I go, okay, well, how about, would you sell me the jersey for $500? Because that was still cheaper than what people were selling for on eBay, right? Yeah. And I go, nah, mate, sorry, we just can't do it. And look, I thought about it, nah, I could probably get 10 shots in a row, but I thought, look, if I miss one of them, I'm not going to forgive myself, right?
Yeah.
So I said, nah, that's it, and I left. And I go, where else might sell a Kobe jersey? Kicks 101, right?
Yeah.
Kicks 101. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to roll in there, go actually have a chat to them. So I rolled in, and I was like, all right, met the two kind of co-owners. There's Rob, and then there's Roger, and there is Elizabeth, right? That's father and daughter.
Yep.
And I rolled in, they were in there, I was having a chat to them, told them about King of the Court, and then I told them about what Coach Kings were doing. I said, yeah, look, they've got the jerseys, but you need to make 10 shots and pay this. And look, Roger wasn't happy. He's pretty much said, he was like, wow, he's like, they're really trying to, you know, extort Kobe's death and they're trying to make some money off it, right? And I said, yeah, I know, mate. So, like, you guys wouldn't happen to have any jerseys, like, lying around out the back, would you? And he just goes, yeah, like, look, mate, they pretty much sold out quick smart. Yeah. We don't have any out the back. You know, but look, I can't really hold on to it. Like, I can't hold on to anything for you. And I said, look, fair enough. And I came in with King of the Court. And I said, look, this is what I do. This is what I'm doing. I've had 2 events. I want to get you on board. Like, what have I got to do? And he just had a look at the couple of videos that I got Alec Unibosch to make. Shout out to Alec. Who was
he had some good videos.
Yeah, he made some great videos. I absolutely got a keen eye for it. And he made a really cool mini documentary for me, and I showed it to him. And Roger said, wow, like, this is sick. And I can tell that you really love it. Like, you really actually love what you're doing. And like, you're not doing this to make money. And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, look, mate, We are happy to sponsor you. And I was like, great, like, we can give you some giveaways and stuff. And as I was walking out, he said, oh, and look, if we do get a Kobe jersey, and I'll give you a call, mate, and we'll try and get you. So it was instantly kind of like the respect level was there. He, like, they knew that I wasn't coming in just to kind of get a freebie from, you know. I was actually trying look for something cool. So
it just speaks of just like the basketball culture. Just like it just, everyone just like if really, you like ball, you just generally just like you just find that shared interest and you like immediately connect.
Legit. And then look, that's essentially how Kicks 101 got involved. And look, to this day, shout out to Kicks. They've sponsored every event since, so good on them. And then look, from there, that's how I actually got in talks with Itchpick. So that's shout out to Nate, shout out to Alex. Went in there, kind of pitched them what King of the Court was, the whole idea of it. They absolutely loved it. They're both basketball fanatics. They absolutely love it too. So look, big shout out to them. They also jumped on board. They made some really sick t-shirts. You guys probably seen both of them.
Yeah, I bought every single one.
Yeah, everyone. Love that. And look, I think what they did is they really helped legitimize what I was doing. Because at that time, as I said, it was just me doing these events. And it's one thing to love what you're doing, but you kind of need something to back you in. And
to make you legit.
You know what I mean? Someone to back you in and go, all right, what you're doing is dope. And we're gonna use our resources to help you, you know? And look, when it kind of came down to the money, like, it wasn't that either of those sponsors put any money, like any like actual money into the event. But what they did was they provided merchandise. They provided a legitimate brand that was behind King of the Court, which was absolutely sick. And shout out to both of them. And look, for this upcoming one, it comes to the most recent sponsor, which is the Felicity Co. So that's Liam McMahon. Good mate of mine since I was really, really, really young. Started his own clothes brand. He's been talking about for years. Managed to do it. Launched it. And look, that's who we have now. We've got Felicity Co, Kicks 101. And as well as that, we have Grant Hope, who are sponsoring the King of the Court 5 this weekend.
Yep.
So, you know, quick thing about Felicity Co, Liam loves what he does. We've got these absolutely fire tees. You would have seen them. They've actually come out today. These are blue, slams, like this guy slam dunking.
Yeah,
absolutely sick.
Yep.
Limited release. So if you can manage to get your hands on one, do it because they will sell out. But look, as well as that, we have Grant Help. And that comes down to a company from Lockie Cardinese and Trent Shears. They've created this company called Grant Help. And it's about helping Australian businesses get grants from the government, which is a really, really sick idea because after COVID, that is probably one of the biggest problems that Australian businesses who have struggled and most who aren't around anymore couldn't receive adequate help from the government, right? And what Grant Help does is they help these Australian businesses get this help from the government.
Wow.
So he approached me and, you know, we've been mates for a while and he said, look, I love what you're doing. We want to get involved. So for the record, they are completely sponsoring the Slam Dunk Comp this weekend. So the prize money is $1,500 and that is all coming from Grant Help. So shout out to Lockie Cardinese and Trent Shears because they're doing something really cool with their business, but as well as like being able to give back to the community and actually put their name on something which is bigger than what they're already doing is, you know, awesome.
That's awesome.
So look, that's kind of the long version of the of the sponsorship story.
Right, just a quick question. Did you ever get the Kobe jersey?
Oh, so the Kobe jersey. Great to bring you back to that. So I could never get the Kobe jersey, but what I actually did was this is CGR Sports. They actually managed to tear me up with some custom jerseys.
But yeah, I saw those.
And we actually did
always one on one.
Yeah. So look, these ones we actually never actually brought to market. We did bring some different ones to market for the third event, but CGR Sports actually made me a kind of the same Lakers custom. It says Carlton on it with the 24 on the back. So that's what I ended up wearing that day. I couldn't get my hands on the actual Kobe jersey. Thank you, Culture Kings. But that's all right, you know? That's all right.
To be fair, though, like going back to the Culture Kings, like if it was Kobe, he'd probably just go in there and just drill the 10 shots and just walk out with his own jersey.
And look, he probably would have spent $2,000 on 500. So, you know, like, that's all right. But,
dead set. And like, where do you think you'll keep taking it further?
Yeah, look, I think I don't have any plans to kind of stop. I think that, look, it comes down to the teams again. So, the third event, we had 20 teams. Last event, we had 22. This one, we have 22. The quality of the basketball you guys have seen, you guys have played in the actual last three.
Oh, yeah.
She lives,
you know. She lives by the Esky apparently this weekend because you guys are going to be playing. Yeah. But
She sits.
Yeah, she sits on the sideline for you cans. But look, you guys are still going to be there, which is great.
Definitely.
But look, I do plan to take this further. I've got no kind of plans of kind of stopping because I think that it brings a lot of joy, not only to myself and my friends and family, but just to all the players. Like, you know, I've got people saying, you know, your event is just so fun. Like, it's like...
Yeah, it's awesome.
I've had, like, it kind of comes down to the commitment with basketball. Like, I've had players say, I kind of lost my love for basketball, but coming down to these events is just something different. That you know, you can't get that when you play for a club. Like, you can just come down to the event, you're with like-minded people who all love basketball, but just kind of seeing so many people happy with the event, seeing the feedback, seeing so many people who like absolutely love it. It's just great. I mean, that kind of last tournament out at Queensbridge in South Bank, that's a whole other conversation of how amazing how blessed I was to be able to do that. That's Hickory in time and place for building that court. But that was hands down probably the coolest court I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, it was outstanding.
That was right in the middle of South Bank, underneath the bridge.
I did not feel good enough to be able to play on that court.
It was, yeah. Look, she lives did well. She lives did well.
We always
win. We were 3-0. We got buff in the final.
This is actually why we brought you here, mate.
Yeah.
We actually got a bone
to pick with you.
Oh, 3-0. 3-0.
We're gonna have to J up for the next.
No, we're 2-1. Yeah. We're 2-1. Oh, 2-1. There's a few other teams. Yeah. 2-1.
No, that was our first group stage loss, actually.
Yeah.
So, like, just for the record, like, there is a round robin for every tournament. For all the listeners that don't understand what they mean by 3-0, is there's a round robin and every team plays 3 games. And determining if you're going to make the final 8 for the finals, it depends how many games you win. So if you win all 3 games, there's a great chance that you'll go through to the finals. But let's say that 10 teams win all 3 games. It comes down to the amount of points that you score in those games. So if 10 teams win all 3 games and 8 teams win it 11-8, right? And then the other 2 win it 11-7.
Yeah.
That means that they get knocked out. So I think with you guys won 2 and you lost 1. But maybe on that one that you lost, was it a big loss? Was it maybe 11-4, 11-3? Or...
Yeah, I can't remember.
I think it was the one where I literally got torched in the post by like some guy. Like, again. It was like, it was ugly.
Yeah, from memory you got torched. So maybe that was it.
Mm. Yeah, but just going into, like, I talking about, like, kind of bringing back your love for basketball. I remember, like, so obviously I definitely enjoyed basketball, like, in regards to playing it the most during high school. I remember Sam, like, just asking me on just some random day, like, oh, like they're running, like, the 3-on-3 tournament, would you play? And I remember being, like, quite, like, hesitant. Mm. I was just like, geez, like, because you lose a bit of fitness as you get a bit older and you're just generally, like, less and less motivated. And, like, I was like, geez, like, maybe. And then, like, I think Sam, like, swayed me with, because, like, oh, we'll have a bench spot, so we'll be able to, like, take some breaks. And then, like, I got down with you. Like, I remember, like, was it me, you, asking Andre, or...
No, it was just you, man, Jay.
Oh, did Oss not play the first one?
No.
Oh, well, anyway.
Shout out Dre as well. Loyal teammate.
Yeah, he. And then we got down and she was just like watching like playing hoops with like the music playing, sunshine. I was just like, geez, this is definitely us.
This is where I parked my car.
Yeah. And now like literally like it definitely like fired me up to like shoot hoops more and stuff like that. So it's just outstanding. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great day. It's a great day. And like, look, and anybody who doesn't have plans this weekend, look, come down. Even if you don't love basketball, and come down and get a haircut. That's Crooks Barbershop. They're going to be there. They're going to be doing cheap trims all day. I believe it's like $10 fades. Look, you can't get that anywhere else, you know?
I think
like
Sam's came for a fade, actually.
Yeah. You can't get that anywhere else.
Yesterday, actually.
So I definitely come down. Look, even if you don't like basketball, you know, like you can come down and get a haircut.
Dude, exactly. You know? That's why Sam and I have been trying to preach to our friends. Like, it's not just like if you don't into basketball, like it's just a social event. Like, it's like, a
social event.
That's exactly what you said before. Like, it's something different, you know, like you go to a pub or a bar every weekend, like get outside, get in the park, you know, have a beer in the sun and just watch, you know, an event like that.
Mm, exactly right. And then look, and there's also good food, you know, we've got Licky Out Turkish Eatery. We've got the Olive Jar Carlton. We've got Fulu Chinese. All resident restaurants on Rathdown Street. They're going to put on some deals for the day. $10 pizza, $10 pasta. So even if you don't like basketball, just come down, grab a pizza, get a haircut, have a good time.
Yeah, dead set. Well, yeah, definitely get down. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
I reckon I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
I reckon that was good.
Just, man, geez, you need to be an event planner a lot. She's a natural, just like, calling out the sponsors. But thank you very much for coming on, boys.
Thanks for having us.
Great to chat to you.
Long time listener, first time podcaster. Absolutely loved it.
Dead set. Well, yeah, get down to King of the Court this Saturday.
That's it.
Thanks, guys.
Neil Street Reserve.